Christ is our Savior, we stand redeemed. And it's because of that precious Brother Ron Hamilton. And Brother Hamilton, of course, he patched the pirate, right? That's I would have been cassette Hamilton as being Patch the Pirate, our kids growing up and hearing all of those. Man, there might have been to begin with, and some albums and CDs down the road. But what a blessing. He's continued to go on in his kids, but he's with the Lord and no longer going through the struggles that he had to deal with. But what a blessing that he and his family have been through the years. Praise the Lord. We stand redeemed if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. So good to have you here again. Again, I wanted to say in regard to the Enterbrads that are here, what a blessing that they are. They headed out of here, I'm going to say, I think it was 2018, because you were there about 5.5 years. In Michigan, almost not Michigan, because you were like up there. Is that Lake Huron, or is that right? Lake Huron at the top, right at the Canadian border, Drummond Island. And it was great to get out there. I think that was 2019 when we went out. And what nation, and what a blessing to meet those folks and to see what the Enterbrads. And, you know, I'm so glad that I had an opportunity to be there. You know, it's one of those, and to see what they deal with and what they're working with. It was great to see what the great job. Now they're transitioning, and he's going to be working with Rock of Ages, of course, out in Tennessee real soon. And today I kind of got caught by surprise. Oh, you're going to be your ministry. And so I'm sorry that didn't work out today as far as hearing a little bit about we continue has opened up a door for you. And so we're excited. We're praying for you. We'll touch base on dates and everything. So it's great to have them here. Good to see them again. Amen. For me to be seen. Well, it's good to see all of you. And I hope it's nice to get a little amen once in a while. All right, folks, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, this is a well-known passage of Scripture, maybe your favorite verse. Philippians chapter 4, we read in our Bible reading just a little bit ago about being content, and about being in chapter 4, it's about on being content, because that's just not... Now, here in Philippians chapter 4, we'll be looking at verse 10 in just a couple of years. I love the book of Philippians, as I love many books in the Bible. Right now, we're going through 1 Timothy. In the last couple of years, I believe it was a year and a half ago, Paul is, of all the churches, at least up till this time, really no churches had reached out with it, but the church at Philippi, and they had a giving, he says, now he's writing this letter, this epistle from prison, all right, he's in Rome, and he's writing, and wrote three others as well at this time while he was now, at the last, here recently is what he's saying, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also opportunity. So he is grateful for the fact that they had remembered him, and they're certainly praying for him, but he wants them to understand something. He wants them to understand that even though he was very, because God had taught him some things, he really didn't need those gifts. And he says, respect of want or of lack. He says, I'm not really speaking, I really need those things because God's taught me something, but I'm grateful that you've given to him. Give those things to me. Here, really, verses 10 or verses 11 through 13 is what we'll look at. But he says here in verse 10, to do this, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Yeah, because I'm being afflicted, but Paul never with my affliction here. Paul was not that way. Yeah, you've communicated that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. You were the only one. You sent one and communicated to us. For even in Thessalonica, ye out a number of times, not because I desire a gift, and there it is again, but I desire, what I really desire is not what I'm going to get out of it, but what's going to take place for you? He says, but I don't bear fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God's going to take care of everything that you need in Christ Jesus. because of your faithfulness. Now, God takes care of all of our needs, but boy, when we step forth and be a blessing to somebody else, the Lord will certainly take care of your needs. Many of you with faith promise have made some decisions, and that's put a little bit of a crimp in your finances, in your budget, but you've determined we're going to give to missions. And I know already God's blessed you. I mean, I've heard testimony after testimony about, yeah, we made a little bit of a sacrifice, and we're not trying to wave it as a banner. We did it because God told us to do this. God's taken care of us. I've certainly seen that many times where you take that step and you say, Lord, I know you want me to do that. Help that brother and his wife, help this family. And then from the back door, blessings come. Wow, where did that come from? God takes care of his own. Okay? Amen. He does. All right, so with that, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into this message on being content. Father, we come to you this morning, and we're grateful. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather together. Again, we thank you for the freedoms that we have, our liberties. So many want to take these away. We thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to have them. We do pray, Lord, that we could have them long-term. Lord, we pray it would be your will. We don't deserve it where our country has gone, but God, help us to be faithful as your people. Help us not to go hide in some cave, but help us to be faithful witnesses, to get out and to serve you. Lord, help us to know that you're on the throne, and that anything that's being allowed is not being allowed by accident, or it's gotten around you, or you've been overwhelmed. Lord, you have all things in hand. You're the great God. And we look unto you, and we thank you for the opportunities that we have to serve you. Thank you for just this last week being able to be a part of what's taking place in the fair booth. What a blessing to see some people come to know Christ. Thank you that we've had some visitors from the fair booth. What a wonderful thing. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us, though, as we go on from day to day, that we'll keep our eyes on you. Lord, help us in this matter. It's a difficult one so many times just on a human level of being content. But Lord, help us to just keep our focus on you. Help us to walk with Christ. Help us to walk in the Spirit. Lord, we know that when we do that and we keep our minds and our thoughts on you, that you'll give us a peace that passeth understanding. You'll give us contentment in our hearts. And Lord, we want that. We want to be a walking billboard for Christ. We want people to see somebody that's happy and joyful because of what we have. So we pray that you'd help us in that way. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts with this message. And I pray, Father, that you'd get me out of the way. I pray for the Spirit of God to do his work in our hearts. And I pray that Jesus Christ would be lifted up and glorified. And we thank you and we praise you in all of this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So in these next couple of verses, it's somewhat of a rather parenthetical statement that he's going to put forth something that is very sublime, all right? Something that's very, very high up there, maybe several levels higher than where most of us mortals operate, okay? This is up there, but God can take us there, amen? With God, all things are what? Yeah, with God, all things are possible. So he will teach them, the Philippian church, but also us. The Lord will do that, and I'm speaking of Paul, of course. Paul is just a human vessel that's writing these things out. But it's amazing how the Spirit of God works. Yes, this is the Word of God, and the Spirit of God inspires Paul to write, but he uses what's in the heart of Paul for these people as well. Does that make sense? Just what Paul's feeling toward these people. It wasn't like Paul was just some, a robot just writing these words out. No, Paul was feeling these things as well, but the Spirit of God was inspiring him what to write. It's the Word of God. But he uses the human author. That's why the books, that's why James is different from the epistles of Paul. And that's why when John writes, you go, oh, that's different. But because God uses their personalities and God uses the desires that they have in their heart, because God is above all and he's just amazing. And so he's able to do all of that. So Paul, as he writes, he's going to speak about something that, on this matter of being content. 1 Timothy 6:6, we read that. That verse says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, the last part of verse 11 here, as we're in Philippians, he says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Therewith to be content. Now, understand this. Paul did not have this down in the earliest of ages, all right? It was not something that was just Paul was just, it just came naturally. There's no doubt it didn't come naturally. Paul had to face some circumstances where you know that he was not content with maybe his situation because of the fact that you think about type A personalities. How many of you are maybe type A personalities out there? Yeah, we've got a whole bunch of them, right? All right, type A personalities, praise the Lord for them. I'm not a type A personality. I may be a type X or Z, okay? I'm kind of down on the bottom of the alphabet. I'm pretty kind of chill that way. That's how God made me. All right, but we have type A's. Well, listen, none of you are going to top the type A personality that Paul was. Paul was a type A personality to the max. Maybe a triple A. I don't know if you could put whatever. If he had a title or a label, yeah, he had ultra A type personality. And Paul had to learn some things. Paul had to learn a lesson about being content over time from the Lord. It's not an easy lesson to learn because you think about the Apostle Paul was a go-getter. He was a guy that wanted to get something done and he wanted to get it done 10 minutes ago, right? Well, you just a simple reading through the Bible and you know that. Don't you think? So Paul was a determined man. So now he finds himself in prison, and I could be with these saints that I'm writing to, and I could see them face to face, and I could minister to them, because many times Paul said, oh, I wish I could see you face to face. So you know Paul struggled. I will use you here in this cell. I will use you for the time right now in this cell. Learned in whatsoever state. You'll learn how to be content with that. And Paul was saying, I've learned. For any of us, when you have to do something that goes against your temperament and your disposition, as God likes to pull us out of our comfort zone, he likes to do things that contrast how we are, so we're like that, and we're just like, man, I just want to go after it, but you can't, and you're sidelined for a little bit. In every situation, it's the same lesson again that you and I learn from the Lord in a greater level than we're at right now, but that'll only happen as we situations. How well do we do with a difficult individual? We're told to be patient with all men, right? And we're to love all. Charles Schultz. I remember a Peanuts comic strip from way back. See, you know these characters. And Linus says, when I grow up, I'm going to be a doctor. And Lucy said, you a doctor? Ha! She said, that's a big laugh. Why? Never be a doctor. You know why? Because you don't love mankind, that's why. And Linus said, I love mankind, it's just people I can't stand. To be patient. God wants us to just simply let God work in our hearts. So let me bring you 3 points on being content. First of all, if we're ever going to learn to be content in this life with what God has called us to do, we will first of all have to determine that circumstances will not dictate. Does that make sense? That circumstances are not going to dictate what God has called me to do as far as being content. Now understand, it's the Lord's work inside you. Understand that. It'll be God working in you. You know, Philippians 2:13, that great verse, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is wanting to work in you, and he is wanting to work in me. How much are we letting him work, or are we stifling him? Are we choking what the Spirit of God is wanting to do in us? He's wanting to conform us to the image of time, to the image of Christ. And how many times do we just block him? How many allow the process, or we make the process a lot more tedious? It's a lot more prolonged. Well, it's obviously this what the Lord's doing is going to be for the rest of our life, but how many times do we stagnate it? You know what I'm saying. How many times do we just slow it up? But again, it has to be something that we're determined to want to do as well. But before that happens, you and I will need to make this determination. We've got to make a decision. Lord, that's what I want. I don't want circumstances to dictate. I want to be determined that I'll be content with whatever happens in my life. But I know that it'll be a work that you do in through me. Folks, it's not going to happen by just osmosis. It's going to happen when we're willing to make a determination, a conscious decision toward that. right? And that's registering, I hope, because that's the way it's going to work. So life has a lot of circumstances in it. It's like constant waves, you know. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Okay, they just continue to come. Paul chooses to use extreme circumstances. Now, I say Paul again. It's the Spirit of God who gave him these words and gave him this analogy to use. But I say Paul because he's the writer. Paul uses these extreme circumstances. Here at the beginning of verse 12, he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. All right? I know how to be abased, squashed, put down, but I also know how to be abased. Paul's talking about two big extremes. He talks about abounding and being abased. Why? Because it's usually in these extremes that we really that really test us in this area of contentedness, right? Yeah, certainly does. I mean, listen, you ever go to Disneyland or Silverwood and, you know, you've got a two-year-old, you got a seven-year-old, and, you know, you are, that in itself, first of all, is a roller coaster ride right there, okay? It just is. And there just seems to be a very small window with this age groups when it comes to contentedness. Would you agree with that? I'm seeing a lot of moms going, yes, big nods of their heads, right? Yeah, because listen, when it comes to that, just like when you feel like you've got it nailed with the seven-year-old, hey, we're going to go on Dumbo, the ride Dumbo. Yeah, that's great. But then the three-year-old is like, everything has just gone horribly wrong with him because he wants a churro and everybody, he doesn't have one and everybody else in the park has one. Now, not everybody else in the park has one, but he saw one kid go by, so he's like, everybody's got one and I want one. And so the whole thing's falling apart. And, you know, they get whiny and they get complainy. And it's like, oh, man, why did we even come here? And, you know, then they're like, oh, can you please hold me, Dad? And, okay, I'm holding them. I'm tired of walking. And you're walking them around. And, boy, they can milk that. You know that? They can milk that. And you're just like, oh, you're like, son, you're 18 years old. I think you've got this. Parents, they'll take you, all right? Listen, most believers, most Christians have a hard time being abased, even just a little bit. Yeah, and I'm throwing myself under the bus. Yeah, we don't like it. Here in America, we've had it so good, and we still have it so good. And so we go through something small, but listen, even though most of us are beyond the ages that I just threw at you, that I just mentioned, yet we still find ourselves struggling with learning how to be content in our situations. I mean, we stand in front of the microwave and say, what, you think I got all minute? Come on. I mean, we struggle with things. We complain easily about it's too cold or it's too hot. You know, today's going to be 92, and we're like, this is way too hot. Yeah, wait till January 15th comes along. And it's like 3 above 0. And you're going to go, I wish it was 92 right now. The Lord's just going, what am I going to do? Listen, we just don't find ourselves happy. We want better vehicles. You know, if I had a Range Rover, I'd be happy. You know, if I had a Serta mattress, I'd be happy. I wish I had a MyPillow of my own. I don't know what my bed number is, my sleep number. I mean, folks, we really sometimes just get really complainy. Yep. I know I'm hitting a nerve because you're just looking at me with a scowl on your face. It's like the guy that was on a deserted island. And after 5 years, he was rescued. And the rescuers were sailing away with this man. And they looked back and they saw three huts. And they said, oh, what are those three huts? What's the one on the left? He says, that was my house. And he said, well, what about the one in the middle? That's my church. And the one on the right, that used to be my church. Yeah, we can't even get along with ourselves. Right. We don't get along with each other because, folks, we get discontented about things. And things don't really play out like we want. Someone once said this. Well, let me read this verse in Proverbs 15:16. It says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Amen. Better is just a little with the fear of the Lord. May we be content with that. Someone said this, it is usually not so much the greatness of our troubles as the littleness of our spirit which causes us to complain. Yeah, it's usually because we're little of spirit. And we need to ask the Lord, Lord, would you broaden my shoulders? Would you help me, Lord, to have a happy outlook? And Lord, help me to be able to just, you know, take whatever this life gives to me and be thankful for it. In everything, we're to give thanks, right? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And listen, when the pendulum swings the other direction, we find that sometimes we can't even handle a little bit of abounding. Yeah, we can't handle all of the, man, we're going through rough times. How about when we abound? We can't, many times we just can't handle that. Some people can't handle when unexpected wealth comes their way. Do we become a whole different person and not for the good? Because maybe some success has been achieved, we don't stop and praise God for it. We let it get to our heads. Maybe God's blessed us in a particular way, and we just are, well, we don't go to the Lord and praise Him and thank Him, but we almost kind of look to ourselves like, look what I just achieved. Yeah. No, you know what? We wouldn't achieve a stinking thing if it wasn't for God. Everything that takes place in our life, we ought to just stop, step back and just say, Lord, would you please forgive me? I just took some of your glory away because I took the credit there. Somebody complimented me and thank you, you know. No. I mean, listen, when people say, hey, great job, it's good to say thank you. That's, you know, but we know in our hearts, and maybe sometimes we just need to communicate it, listen, it's all because of the Lord. And I don't mean we're supposed to wax like, more righteous than thou or holier than thou. Oh, you know, it's all the... Listen, but if we mean it from our hearts, we just say, listen, I'm grateful that God's given me that opportunity. But you know, it's Him. It's what He's done. He's allowed this in my life. And He blessed us with this. He blessed us with that. We have what we have, but it's because of Him. Not because of my great intellect and my great work ethic and because I work like crazy. Because God gave you the energy to work like crazy. And if you have great energy, just step back and say, Lord, I just want to thank you. Because that can go away in a heartbeat. I mean, I have a son-in-law, and I'm praying that he's going to get back to full strength. But, man, that guy's a go-getter, and right now he's walking around like he's in his 80s, just trying to get his way back. And we're praying that he's going to get all the way back. But that can just happen in a moment, folks. And may we give praise to God with everything, with the air that we breathe, with as Brother Hank used to say so many times, thank the Lord for the things that never did happen. I like that kind of foresight where, Lord, that could have happened, but it didn't. And I want to thank you that didn't happen. Thank the Lord for a near car collision that didn't happen. Thank Him when you get from point A to point B and just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for allowing that to happen. I don't ever want to take that for granted. It's good to just stop sometimes because we in our hustle and bustle routine sometimes just go on to the next thing, and we don't stop enough and say, Lord, I got to just stop and just want to think about a number of things that you did this last 24 hours. You did this, and you did that, and you allowed me to do this, and you allowed the church to experience some great blessings here, and you did that, and you did that. I just want to say thank you. You're just a great God. And we acknowledge that to the Lord. It's pleasing unto the Lord, and we can bless Him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know how we bless Him? When we're just thankful. Remember how 1 Timothy chapter 2 talked about that we're to be praying for all men. You know, he says, I exhort you therefore that supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. And to God as well, that we would just be thankful and thank Him for everything that He's done in our lives. So may we never let anything that just get over our heads. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is just a great chapter for that. That was Moses telling the children of Israel, you're about ready to go into the promised land. And when you go into the promised land, take note. Don't go in there when God clears out the enemies and down the road you begin to take credit for that. Always give God the praise and always give him the credit. He said this in Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'll just read some verses. He says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." And then a little further in Deuteronomy chapter 8, good verses to write down here and look at later. He said in verse 14 and then verse 17, I'll just kind of cut it a little short. He said, "Then thine heart be lifted up." He says, if you're not careful, your heart will get lifted up. "And thou shalt forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." And then verse 17 says, and this is what you'll end up saying if you're not careful. "And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth." Whoa, yeah. You say, oh, I'd never be capable of doing that. Well, Peter said he would never deny the Lord. And he did three times. And if we think that that'll never happen to us, we're about ready to have a big face plant. It's good for us just to say, Lord, please, I'm so capable of doing that. Lord, help me not to do that. I don't want to take 1 ounce of your glory away. Will you help me, Lord, incline my heart to remember daily what you do for me? And I'll acknowledge that, Lord, as much as I possibly can. Lord, you are worthy of all of the praise and all of the glory and everything that you give to me. You've given me my every breath that I take. You've given me whatever ounce, how many ounces of strength I have. You've given it to me, and I just want to thank you. May we do that. And folks, I'm pointing to myself. As I point to you, there's four fingers that are pointing back at me, and I know that that's what I need to do. The second thing that is so crucial, that first thing is making sure that circumstances will not dictate. But the second thing is so crucial, so key in learning to be content. And that is, well, let's just read the verse and then I'll give you the point. The second part of verse 12, where he says, you know, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Then he says, everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So the second point is, in everything, I need instruction. In everything, I need instruction. In the last part of that verse, we see something that is so incredibly vital. And it's those three words, I am instructed. I am instructed. That's what Paul's saying. I've learned how to be instructed by you, Lord, in whatever situation I find myself in. Whether I'm being abased or whether I'm abounding, I'm stopping, I'm pulling back and just saying, Lord, can you instruct me in all of this? Because if I don't get instruction from you, I'll make a bad mistake. You find yourself making bad mistakes? Yeah, that's when we don't go to the Lord with things, right? That's why Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Boy, if we'll learn to do that, we'll honor the Lord, and he will direct the way that we go. How many of you, like myself, want to go the right direction? Sure, we do, right? And if we'll learn to trust the Lord and just acknowledge him, he'll guide us. So this, along with what verse 11 says about learning, is really key for us in truly becoming content with what we have. If we'll learn that we'll be content with the things that he gives to us. Someone once said this, the grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it. Where you water it, that's where it'll be green. Folks, are we coachable? I miss coaching. I coached a lot of different things through the years. But are we coachable? I enjoyed working with students and players and guys that were participating in sports and working with them. And I loved it when they would just soak it all in, the things that I was trying to convey to them, the things I was trying to teach them. I had some that rank at the top. Oh, man, that young man was coachable. And then we have some that are not so coachable. They're not so teachable. Well, how about you and I? Are we coachable? Are we teachable? Or do we complain? Someone once said this, don't pray for rain if you're going to complain about the mud. Yeah, there's going to be some things that, you know, there's going to be some challenges through all of the blessings. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Because it's easy for us. You know, the verse before says, but we know that all God, well, no, in, what does it say again? I just read it a little bit ago. I'm just going to turn to it. I'm just destroying it because it's right there in the page before. Yeah, for it is God which worketh in you. Thank you. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's why the next verse says, that's why the next verse in verse 14 says, so do all things without murmurings and disputings. Because when God's working in us, it's not always going to be pleasant. He's going to take us through some through the hard yards. If you're learning to do something of any substance, if you're learning to do anything that really amounts to anything, you're going to go through some real training, right? And do you think that training is in some? No, anything that I really had to work for, I felt vulnerable. And you go through the hard yards, you go through some difficulties because you need to get to that point. And that's just not going to happen easily. And so the Lord says, when I'm working in and through you, be careful that you don't complain or murmur, because we're very tempted to want to do that. Paul said, I've learned how to take instruction from God. I've learned how to listen to God when I'm going through some rough times. There's no doubt when Paul was in that cell, in that prison, that he had to get to a point where, Lord, you know this isn't easy for me, but I'm just going to be quiet and listen to you as I read your word, as I pray. You know, it's like with the psalmist. I mean, it might have been David, Psalm 46 and verse 10, when he said, be still and know that I am God. Do you take that time to listen to the Spirit of God who's working in your heart, who speaks to you through his word, who shows you some things things that we need to hear, things that we need to learn, things that we need to be instructed about? And if we'll learn to do that through those tough times, God can really make some progress with us, because he certainly wants to. That might be easy to do when things are okay, but how about when they're not okay? How about when times are challenging for you and I? Do we just learn to just get quiet before the Lord and say, Lord, yeah, I know that you've got something here. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. That Romans 8:28, what a great verse that is. So folks, it is just crucial, so crucial for us to just wait on God and listen very carefully. James said this, that we're to be swift to hear and what? Slow to speak. Because we want to speak so quickly, you know, but he's given us two ears and just one mouth, so we may need to spend a little bit more time hearing. Swift to hear, Lord, what is it that you want to show me? He will reveal whatever it is that he needs to communicate to us if we'll just wait on him. Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14 says this, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. So are we willing to listen to his instruction? Over and over, his word tells us to do that. And then finally, this third thing, we ask ourselves this question, so how is it that we could even win this battle, these challenges that come our way? Well, we're to be content. If we're to be content, then Christ must be my victor. He is the one that is my champion. He is the one that'll get the victory through me. Amen? That's why the Bible says here in verse 13 of Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ. You remember in Romans chapter 7 when Paul was struggling, Paul was still coming along and he had that battle with the old nature, the new nature, and his struggles. And Paul gets to a place, says, those things that I want to do, I find that I can't do them. And the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing those things. And I'm struggling. Help me, Lord. That's when he says there in verse 24 and 25 of Romans 7, oh, wretched man that I am. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I struggle, Lord. Who's going to deliver me from this? And he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Christ will give me the victory. Paul struggled with that. This truth, folks, is so liberating. And I'm not about to say, oh, I've mastered this. I wish I could say that. No, I still find that old nature is there, right? The old nature, it's a struggle. And we're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. We're to live that crucified life that Galatians 2:20 speaks about. But staying there, boy, because the distractions in this life and the challenges and the circumstances that we find ourselves in are sometimes overwhelming. And yet we say, oh, I got to go back to the Lord. But sometimes our spirit is overwhelmed and we find ourselves there. And so, folks, when we get to this place, though, where we do turn it over to the Lord, it is so liberating. It is so freeing. Let's understand that Christ is our victor. He's our champion. And he's the one that'll give us the victory. I can do all things, not most things, not some things, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. There's nothing, folks, out there that can harm you. Nothing out there that can harm you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the devil's a pretty feisty foe, and he's pretty powerful, and we are no match against him by ourselves. But if we arm ourselves with the armor of God, and we just nestle ourselves into the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil has no, he can't combat that at all. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, James chapter 4, about drawing near unto God, he'll draw near unto us, and if we'll humble ourselves and seek his face, the Bible says that the devil will flee. And I know I kind of mixed that up a little, but if we'll just humble ourselves and go to the Lord, the devil's like, I can't touch him right now. I can't touch Mike and Sam. They've got their eyes on the Lord, and man, I wanted to trip that Mike up so bad. That guy just makes me mad. But I can't, because he's praising the Lord and he's just humbling himself before God. And the devil just looks at that and says, I'm out of here. I hate this. I hate when they're so close to the Lord. We get close to the Lord, he's not going to be able to do anything to us. And we're not to fear him. Understand that in our Christian life, if we'll submit ourselves to Christ and walk with him, we can do all things. Because that's what that verse says. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Psalm 60 in verses 11 and 12 says, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for it is he that shall tread down our enemies. It's the Lord that'll tread down your enemies. Oswald Chambers, in his book, My Utmost for His Highest, said this: it is a shameful thing for a Christian to talk about getting the victory. The victor, Jesus Christ, ought to have gotten us so completely that it is his victory all the time. And we are more than conquerors through him. Folks, if we just yield to the Lord and just submit ourselves unto him, then the Lord will get the victory through us. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. He always causeth us to triumph in Christ. If we'll yield to him, then he'll give us the victory. Quite often we have our defeats when we get away from the Lord. When we start to lean on our own understanding, like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us not to do. We're to acknowledge him. And when we do, he'll direct our paths. And he'll give us the victories that we need. So might we then, folks, be determined, as I just give you the quick review, to not let circumstances dictate us. We got to just determine, Lord, I don't want that to happen. So many times circumstances do that to me, but I want to be determined not to, but I can only do that in your strength. Help me, Lord. In everything, be instructed. That means in everything, when you find yourself in a situation, then it's good for us. And I say this to you because I'm saying it to myself more than I'm saying it to anybody. And that is, when we go through rough times, and maybe our roughest year is ahead of us, I don't know. Some of you have gone through some rough times, some rough patches, and they continue to go on. Some of you have had your health compromised. Some of you have dealt with cancer. Some of you are dealing with ongoing things. But maybe some of us, it's ahead for us. I'm not trying to be somebody who's a downer. I mean, you know, I like to be an optimist, but I'm also a realist. And we live in this life, and we live in a cursed earth, and these bodies are just, they're just problems waiting to happen, right? Something's ahead. May we be ready and determined that when that happens, or that our hearts will be right, that we'll be just yielding unto the Lord, and that we will be ready to be instructed when maybe some tough news hits us. Oh, Lord, we would learn to go and just get alone with Him. Open up His Word. Speak to Him and say, Lord, please, I want to be teachable. Help me with this. Help me to understand it. I may not understand it fully. That's okay, Lord. You don't have to explain everything to me. But just be with me. Just be my strength and help me. And the Lord will be our strength. I know that without a doubt. And He'll be that for you. He'll be that for myself. And then just to let Christ be the victor. Because He is the victor. He's the only one that can do anything through us and for us. Christ says, without me, you can do what? Can do nothing. And we try to do it on our own, but the Lord says, let me do it through you, and He'll do it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Only then will we have learned a bit of contentedness. I don't think any of us are going to reach it, you know, and bat 1,000 with this. We're going to struggle. We're going to come here, but then we got to just set our eyes on that and say, Lord, I want to be content. Help me. Help me to keep my eyes on you. And when we've learned that, there's no better thing to bring folks into our families and into our churches, into this church or whatever church you're a part of, if we've learned how to be a content person and just striving to want that from the Lord, we'll be a blessing to others. We'll be an encouragement unto others. You certainly will be a blessing to your children, and you'll be a blessing to those about you. We'll be a blessing to our spouse. Our spouse will be a blessing to us. If we just determine to let God do what He wants in His way in our hearts and lives. Amen? So with that, I'm going to have you bow your heads right now, and we'll have the piano player come and begin to play, and Brother Jason's going to lead us in a hymn of invitation in a moment. And with your heads bowed, being in a spirit and an attitude of prayer, maybe you're here today and God has spoken to your heart about this contentedness. It's a challenging thing, certainly, humanly speaking. Maybe God's spoken to your heart in regard to that. And you'd say, Pastor Garcia, please pray for me. I know the Lord is my Savior. I know, and I've trusted in Him. But certainly that this issue of being content is not always, it's something I strive for. I fail at it many, many times, but I'm praying that God will help me. Maybe you'd say, please pray for me. That the Lord will help me. God bless you. God bless you. There's a lot of hands all over. My own hand is up. Listen, this is a challenge for every one of us. You say, please pray for me. Okay, God bless you. Hands all over the auditorium. Maybe you're here today without Christ. You don't know for sure if you died that you'd get to heaven. Well, the Bible tells us how we can know for sure that we can be saved, that we can be born again. It's by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you're here without Jesus Christ, you don't know Him as your Savior, then when we sing this hymn of invitation, or even right this moment, you say, I need to get saved, then I would encourage you and challenge you to step out in the aisle and come up here to the front. We'll show you from God's Word how you can be saved and trust Christ as your Savior. So we'll have this word of prayer, and then we'll sing. But if God's spoken to your heart, I want you to respond. Maybe come into the altar or whatever you need to do about something that God's spoken to you about here now this afternoon. Father, we thank you. We praise you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to be true to it. Help us to just simply yield to you. Help us to be teachable. Help us to be instructable. Many times, Lord, we sometimes dig in our heels. Would you help us? We can certainly be stubborn. But help us to yield to you. Help us to allow you to do in our hearts what you want to do. Help us to be content. We have so much to be content about. You give us so much. We thank you. If somebody's here without you, Lord, we pray that they'll get saved today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand with the hymn book.
Amen. Two, nothing between.
This world. feast of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. On the third, nothing between the pride of the station. Sail for friend, friends. Though it may cause me much tribulation, I am resolved there's nothing between, nothing between the soul and my Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing be between.
Amen. That's some good counsel, right? Nothing between us and the Savior. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I mean, not only has he saved us, he came and died on a cross for us, gave his life willingly, was buried and rose again, and you know, here we've come to know Christ. I don't know if everybody here is saved, but the vast majority of us are saved. I hope everybody here knows Christ. But we're saved, and then the Lord has given us a perfect book. I believe this is a perfect book that he's given to us in the King James Bible. I do. And but, I mean, he's given us the counsel and everything that we need to do to succeed in this life. And, you know, many times we kind of neglect it. Yeah, maybe sometimes we just... We go by so quickly, we don't really notice it. You know, guilty as charged. Listen, how good he is, though, huh? That he is just faithful. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it, it says. Amen. He's a great God. So glad that you've come today. Our visitors, thank you for coming and being with us. And we sure hope that you've had a blessing. And we certainly hope we've been a blessing to you. Let us know if we can be a blessing in any other way. We certainly would love to be. Again, it's good to have the commanders here with us, and I'm going to ask Pastor Commander, if you just close us right there with a word of prayer. Thank you, brother.